Today, what I thought we would start covering, well, our regular text is, of course, Luke 21, and the passage that we'll end up covering today after we sing is about Jesus telling about the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, in Kaufman's commentary, he brought out about Jesus' parable of the wedding feast from Matthew 22. And I went and re-looked at that, and this is the perfect prelude explaining all of the destruction of Jerusalem that Jesus gave in a parable. And he did, here this is Matthew 22, the parallel account of Jesus telling about the destruction of the temple is Matthew 24. So this is right before. I'm going to say this is either Monday or Tuesday, because Matthew 24 is Wednesday morning. So I'm going to, this has to be either Monday or Tuesday. So I thought this would be good to cover this parable of the wedding feast. And then this follows the narrative that Kaufman mentioned. I think I've just only picked this up in the book of Luke commentary, that Jesus would tell a parable right before the fulfillment of the parable, which where we really got a good dose of that was with the rich man and Lazarus. He told that parable right before he raised Lazarus from the dead. But then Kaufman had several other examples that Jesus would let them know about a parable to let them know what was coming before he actually did it. Now, this, of course, is the destruction of Jerusalem was not coming right after this, but this parable preluded Jesus' further telling about the destruction of Jerusalem to the apostles. Okay. So, to find out who Jesus is telling this parable to, it's Matthew 21, verse 45. The chief priest and Pharisees is who he's talking to. And he had just told them the parable of the withered tree, of the withered fig tree. And now he's telling them another parable here. This is the parable of the wedding feast. And so, Matthew 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spoke to them, the chief priests and Pharisees, again by parables, and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son." So, of course, the king is God, and the son is Jesus. "And sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding." So, the servants that went to invite people to the wedding were the apostles, these initial servants. And then the ones that were invited, of course, are the Israelites. They're invited. And then this wedding feast is God's kingdom. So this is Jesus is representing here that the apostles are going to be teaching people, teaching the Israelites about God's kingdom and inviting them to be a part of God's kingdom. And then the last sentence of verse 3 is, "And they were not willing to come." So the apostles invited the Israelites to enter God's kingdom, and they refused. And then verse 4. "Again, God sent out other servants." So these are even more than the apostles. And like the 70 that Jesus ended up dealing with before he died, there were 70. There were even 500 people, the Apostle Paul mentions, that had witnessed Jesus after he resurrected. And you have Philip the evangelist that would be included in these other servants. Very likely, I'll say probably the prophet Agabus. would probably be another one that would be included in these other servants, that all covered in Acts. But anyway, so there's more than the apostles that God sent out saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. Okay, so now you have all of these servants of God teaching about God's kingdom, inviting them to come into God's kingdom. And then this phrase here, all things are ready, come to the wedding. That is the verse that this well-known song, all things are ready, come to the feast, comes from this verse. So I modified one of our songs that we'll end up singing to that song, all things are ready, come to the feast, since we've covered the verse here. Okay, so this has been a multiple imploring to get these Israelites to come to God's kingdom. Verse 5, but the Israelites made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. So they completely ignored the invitation to come and be a part of God's kingdom. And they went about their daily business and operations that they'd been doing their whole lives. Completely ignored God's kingdom and rejected it is what happened. Okay, now. Then, but that's not all. They didn't stop at that. Verse 6. And the rest of the Israelites seized God's servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. So this was, of course, foretelling about the apostles and other evangelists that the Israelites would end up killing. And then verse 7. But when the king, when God heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. This is the reason, this is the verse while we're covering this. This was the reference Kaufman gave, was Matthew 22, verse 7. God sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. So, destroyed the Israelites, sent out his armies. And now, what army was this that actually happened, that actually did this destructing? Well, of course, it was the Roman Empire. So the Roman army is the army that Jesus was talking about. He calls it God's army here because God was the one responsible for sending the Roman Empire in to destroy Jerusalem and destroyed those murderers, destroyed the Jewish nation that was living there in Jerusalem and burned up their city. And so this is exactly what happened. Jesus told it in a parable. The week that he was going to be crucified, he let them know what was going to happen 40 years from now, here in this parable, that God would send an army, destroy the Israelites, and burn up Jerusalem. And that's exactly what happened. And Josephus recorded that the Roman Empire killed 1.1 million Jews in Jerusalem in that siege. Okay, verse 8. Then God said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. So the Israelites rejected God's kingdom, and so God said, they are not worthy. So go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So go invite other people, non-Jews, non-Israelites, so the Gentiles. Go and invite the Israelite, the Gentiles to come into our king, into my kingdom, is what God is telling the servants to do. So, verse 10. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. And so this is representative that God's kingdom is filled for the overwhelmingly with Gentiles. Since unfortunately the Israelites rejected initially God's kingdom, and for the most part, I think there's probably very few Jewish people that are a part of God's kingdom today due to their continued rejection of God's kingdom and rejection of Jesus. Okay, there's more to this parable, but this was all that I was intended to cover for this covers this part that very well complements Luke 21. Is there any questions or comments on this?